friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. I love that. That's Psalm 95, verses 3, 4, and 5. Friend, how are you? It must be Thursday. Amen and amen. Yes, welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. My name is Joey Kroll on this 21st day of February 2013. How's your week coming along? You doing all right today? Having a good week? Yeah, our week has been pretty busy for the most part. Just one of those busy weeks here in the Kroll household. It has been extremely busy, so it's so good to just connect with you on Thursdays, because that gives me an opportunity just to slow things down, hear from the Lord, and spend some time with you. And today's not only Thursday, tomorrow, of course, is Friday, and the end of the week, to end out this crazy busy week. But in the midst of the week that you're having, may it be a busy one or an extremely busy one, I do pray that you have a chance to put life on pause and spend some time with the Lord and not neglect or forget to do so. I'll tell you what, we've been talking about it for quite a while now, the Serve and Learn trip to Israel coming up in just a couple of weeks already, March the 2nd through the 13th, and we have, I believe, last I checked, it was 21 individuals that stepped up and say, you know what, I want to make a difference for the kingdom of God, and we have 21 people going over to Israel to really make a difference. And in fact, so many service opportunities, including assisting and helping out at a Christian Bible club in Nazareth, also helping out at a local hospital, and so many other opportunities that these pilgrims will be on. So if you can't be praying for them as God will ordain their steps and put them in situations where He wants them at the exact moment, at the exact time, to really make a difference for His kingdom and His glory. And in fact, if you want to get involved, if you want to help out in some way, we are going to be collecting several school items, including paintbrushes and paint and stickers and glue and crayons and markers and paste, all of that stuff to help with some of these local areas and donate to some of the organizations and children and families that we come across on. So if you have any of those items, new school supplies, you can drop it off between now and next Wednesday. We have a drop-off location at the Community Free Church in Mahomet between now and next Wednesday night. The Community Free Church in Mahomet, located, by the way, at 102 West Riverbend Boulevard in Mahomet. If it's easier for you, you can give a financial gift to Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois 61843. Again, that is Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois 61843, and be sure to put Israel supplies in the memo line of the check so we know where to designate that gift to. So, but first and foremost, be praying for our individuals and just these wonderful pilgrims who stepped up and wanted to truly make a difference for the kingdom of God. So be praying for them as they head out March the 2nd through the 13th. Well, I'll tell you what, we have a wonderful devotion reminding you of your relationship with the Lord, and we'll take a look at Genesis chapter 3. It's going to be a great one right after this here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord, our Maker. He is our God, He is our God. We are the people of His pasture,
Song Fernando Ortega and Come Let Us Worship and Bow Down, right here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. So have you ever seen that movie Beauty and the Beast? If you haven't, it's a story about this handsome prince who lives in a castle, and an elderly woman comes to knocking at his door needing shelter, and the prince turns her away. Well, that elderly lady put some curse on him and his family, I think it was, turned the prince into this hideous beast, and also turned his family members into a teapot and a clock, and I think also a candlestick. Now, of course, kind of humorous, but when you're watching the movie, you kind of think, okay, that prince was dealt a tough hand. I mean, after all, did that punishment really fit the crime? You know, what about the people in his family? They didn't turn the elderly woman away, so why did they have to pay for his mistakes? You know, friend, many people, Christians and non, react the same way to God's reaction in the garden to Adam and Eve. Sure, we weren't supposed to eat the fruit, but really, the entire human race, for all of human history, will have to pay for their mistakes? I mean, wasn't there a better way to teach Adam and Eve? You know, those are some of the viewpoints that people have when it comes to God's reaction to both Adam and Eve. So today, I wanted to focus on Genesis chapter 3. Now, Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to read the first 7 verses of Genesis 3. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We must eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. See, Satan knew that if he wanted Eve to sin, he would need to make her doubt that she could really trust God. See, friend, he convinced her that God was holding out on her. Satan put the idea in her head that God wanted her to stay away from the tree, not so that she wouldn't die, but because he did not want her to truly live. See, she realized that she had everything in the garden. But after Satan tried to twist some words around, she thought to herself, yeah, that does look good. I want that. I want that. And all of this time, God had been the person providing for her. But for the first time, she was confronted with the possibility that there may be more for her outside of God's will than within it. Friend, in what ways are we tempted to seek happiness outside of God's will? Boy, we see it all over. People staying out late on Friday and Saturday nights at the local taverns, trying to find happiness in relationships outside of their marriage, and certainly outside of God's will. Adam and Eve rebelled against God by eating the fruit. With this choice, our first parents plunged humanity into darkness. Before the fall, God was the person who determined what was good and bad in creation. But when they took that first bite, the first humans declared that they were going to decide what was best for them. They didn't want God to tell them what they needed, because he couldn't be trusted anymore, and it was no longer his place to decide. Instead, each person will determine his or her own course. Boy, that sounds so relevant to the day and age that we live in today. Amen? See, our disobedience didn't stop with the rejection of God's authority. We also belittled his goodness. See, friend, before this sin, Adam and Eve believed that God wanted the best for them. A loving relationship existed between God and his image bearers. After our rejection, humans no longer saw God as the near and intimate father they had once known so well. We began to think that if we obeyed him, we would miss out on something. Even today, many think of God as being out to sabotage our happiness and joy. You know, it's kind of funny and kind of interesting to note that Satan came as the form of a snake when he tempted Eve. Because God's created order, perfect plan and perfect order was this: God ruling over man and man ruling over creation. So God ruling over man and man ruling over creation. When Satan came to Eve and told her what to do, so that perfect order now became creation ruling over man and man ruling over God. See, our disobedience was not primarily about a piece of fruit, but was about the exchanging of God for an idol. For a piece of fruit. In essence, with eating of the forbidden fruit, we were saying to God, anyone or anything but you. Trusting even a crawling creature over the Creator. And what happened in the Garden of Eden represents the same exact thing still happening in our hearts today. We don't believe God, but we're willing to believe anyone and anything else. And it's kind of interesting too, by the way, as a side note, as a really good Bible study here. In Genesis chapter 2 and throughout Genesis chapter 3, we see that God is referred to as the Lord God. And the Lord God can be translated to Yahweh. It's the personal and intimate name of God. We see that throughout Genesis chapter 2 and 3. It shows and reveals something about the personal and intimate God that is able to be known by his creation. And that's you and me. Okay? But when Satan comes in the scene in the garden, he changes the name of God. Now, you look, again, throughout Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis throughout chapter 3, God is referred to as the Lord God. Again, that's that personal, intimate God. But when the serpent comes, he changes God's name. He calls him just God. He takes the Lord out of the Lord God. He just called him God. Because he said, did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? He didn't call him the Lord God because he didn't want Eve to be reminded of her personal and intimate relationship with God. And he fooled her so much so that she began to call him God in opposed to that Yahweh Lord God. In verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree. So he tricked her by not focusing on that Lord God, that Yahweh personal intimate God, and wanting her to not even think about the relationship that she has with him. And the same thing happens today. Satan doesn't want to remind you of that intimate and that personal God, that Yahweh God. It could be for some of us reminding us that we're nothing and we're no good for God. Reminding us that God doesn't love us. But praise be to Jesus Christ. The word of God is true, and it is a reminder that there isn't anything that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, especially if you're a child of God. So friend, what's the purpose of sharing this message, this Bible study, this devotion today? You cannot find true happiness outside of God's will. And don't forget about that personal and intimate relationship that you have through Jesus Christ. And the next time when you have a serpent coming into your garden to tempt you, you can claim victory today. Because you know for a fact that you do have a relationship with Jesus. Don't forget about that Yahweh God, that personal and intimate God.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed home. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need at the end.
What a great reminder from Steve Green, and people need the Lord. Amen and amen. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio. My name is Joey Kroll. Thank you so much for letting me spend some time here with you today. I don't ever take our Thursdays for granted. In fact, it is an honor to be part of my favorite radio station. In fact, I became a listener first, and then I became a staff member here at Great News Radio much after becoming a listener. So thanks again for letting me do what I love doing most. And don't forget, sitting in this chair and that chair over there, Mark Burns and Pastor Jason, as they will continue their series on the Book of Ruth. That's coming up tomorrow morning for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Have a great rest of the day.